The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwood.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings. We are delighted to have you join us here on the Rapids podcast. 21 games gone, 13 to go in the regular season, and the Rapids are in a bit of a rut. We'll talk to three players, Dominic Bongi, Marlon Hairston, and Jared Watts, while also gathering the thoughts of Richard Fleming. And Dylan Cannon takes us across the green and pleasant lands of England as the 2017-18 Premier League season gets underway. Before that, a reminder that the Rapids have a trip to FC Dallas this Saturday. Your support, though, is so desperately appreciated and needed for the home game with Eastern Conference strugglers DC United on August 19th. Rapids are then not back home until September 16th when New York City FC come to Commerce City. Call 303-825-GOAL or go to coloradorapids.com. Meanwhile,
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Okay, let's get to it. Colorado Rapids 2, Vancouver Whitecaps FC 2. More points dropped at home. A defensive lapse for the second Vancouver goal and a missed opportunity to move off the bottom and to close the gap on those occupying the playoff places. Richard Fleming joins me. Your main takeaway from Saturday, aside from feelings of frustration, I imagine, and also the fact that they did not watch your pregame segment on Altitude Television and did not listen to your suggestions.
And what did I say?
You said a couple things. Off to a fast start.
Mm-hmm. And settle.
And settle. And then keep an eye on Freddie Montero.
Yes. That didn't happen. Yeah, it was. It was a huge missed opportunity against a Western Conference opponent. And I think having got themselves back into the game through Axel Schuberg and Kevin Dahl, they then nod off at the back and give up that soft equaliser for Freddie Montero. That's now 31 goals conceded in 21 games. They leaked just 32 in 34 in all of last season. So defensively, not what they were. Look, we can point to changes along the back line and to injuries, etc., etc. What is most disturbing for me during this current run is that they're actually conceding more goals at home than they are on the road. Mm. 3 goals in 3 road games, 9 against from 4 home games. 1 win in 7, without a win in the last 4. So yeah, frustrated. But I think disappointment is the main feeling. 21 points from 21 games. Now this really should alert you to the difference between 2016 and 2017. They had more points after 11 games, 23 points of 2016 than they currently have after 21 in 2017. They had more points by May the 11th of 2016 than by August the 5th of this. Fans expected, not just the fans, absolutely, primarily the fans, we all expected more this season.
It's perhaps an impossible question, but what's the answer?
Consistency. I think consistency of lineups. We've not seen certainly consistency in performances. And you've just got to go back to a couple of back-to-back games. Beat San Jose 3-0 here. Go to Chicago and lose 3-0. Beat Houston 3-1 here. 3 days later, lose 3-1 to Seattle. The attacking play, more aggressive against Vancouver. The defensive play had an off day. The various strands needed for a team to work as one have not come together. They've not come together enough throughout this season for this side to be competitive and to put a string of positive results together. And I think that the reasons are numerous. No one area, unlike in 2016 where you said attacking weren't scoring so many but defensively weren't conceding, so the two kind of cancelled each other out. Nobody has come out with their reputations enhanced. Certain players, I think certain individual players, and we'll hear from two of them, Don Baggio and Marlon Hairston. I think individually a few have come out with their reputations slightly enhanced, but it's a team game, and the collective has not been nearly good enough. And look, that's not being that's not me kind of looking at the glass half empty. Look at the standings. Just look at the recent results. Cast your gaze at the Rapids road record. And we're into August, 9 games away from home, and only 1 point to show. And I will say this, a very solid foundation was laid in 2016. The expectation was, with a couple of tweaks here and there, that the Rapids would use that to kick on. Those foundations have crumbled after 21 games of 2017.
Stefan Aigner arrived this week. Does he make a difference?
You would hope to the long term, yes. In the short term, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be tough because from this point, I know Ladero did it with Seattle, but from this point, I'm struggling to see how one player, and particularly a player that has been brought in to affect the offensive side of things, it's difficult to see how one player will affect the collective. Now, publicly, coaches and players won't say that the playoffs are out of reach. Certainly not until mathematically impossible. But if not impossible, it's looking more and more unlikely. And if it was just, as I kind of alluded to a few moments ago, if it was just on the attacking end, but it's not. The collective has and is struggling all across the park. Defensively, the kind of holding midfielders that we had last season in a 4-2-3-1 going to a 4-4-2, it's looking to be more attack-minded. So that's not as solid. The protection of the goalkeeper, the protection of the back four, the creativity, and I think Gashi's absence has been a factor. It's not been the overriding factor. And the word that we've been hearing over and over again, clinical, not clinical enough in front of goal. So it's across the park that the side has struggled. I'd love to be proven wrong. I would love Aigner to come in and to be the catalyst, to be the little magic wand and for the Rapids to go on a rampaging run over the next 13 games. Unfortunately, you look at trends, and for the first 21 games, they've not filled me with a huge amount of confidence. Again, I'd be delighted to be wrong. The Rapids have had patches. They've had little moments in games. There were moments last weekend against Vancouver. Ultimately, they couldn't close that game out. So that'll be seen upon as 2 points lost, when really there were moments in that game where you think, this could be it. This could be the catalyst. They come from behind against a tough Western Conference opponent. They get out with a 2-1 win, and then they go to a Dallas side that have been struggling in recent times. But they didn't. They dropped their guard. They dropped more points at home. And now an even greater emphasis to pick up precious points on the road.
Now to the first of three interviews this week. I had the chance to catch up with Jared Watts.
Jared Watts, first of all, how are you?
Doing well, man. Yeah. How you doing? Just finished up a good day of training.
So yeah.
Guys are working hard.
It seemed like a good day of training out there and hard work. But the question is like, how – it's the existential question, right? How do you translate good training sessions into good performances on the weekend? And where is that gap?
It's not far off. I mean, I think if you look at even a couple of our last performances, we haven't got the results we've wanted, but we haven't put together a 90-minute span. But I think we've put stretches of – 35, I think almost 75 minutes this last game. We really felt comfortable, really felt like we were on top of the game and could have got a result. It's just moments, though. That's the thing. Moments and games that can change games that you don't even, really think about, and the common eye doesn't see it. But I think if we can fix those little moments, we're still going on the road here to Dallas, a tough place, and we're going to be on the front foot. We're going to play forward. We're going to run forward. We're going to go forward, and we're, going to not back down.
Last year you had a historical defense. I mean, we don't have to talk about that again because we've beat that horse to death. But this year you're just one goal more allowed than last season. From where you stand in the back, you've been in and out of the lineup a little bit, but from where you stand, where have those differences been?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's from top to bottom group defending. We haven't had consistent lineups, whether it's injuries, whether it's form, guys are in and out of international duty. So, different things happen, but that's everybody that has to deal with that in the league. So, again, I think it's just small moments, guys making sure they're comfortable playing with one another. The communication part of it is huge. And then I think it's just, still being optimistic and worrying about one game at a time now with where we're at. We got, you know, plenty of the season left. We're not out of it by any means, but we know we need to start getting in, stringing results together. So,
and that's been sort of the challenge, hasn't it? You win one, you have a good performance, and then it's been tough to follow that up. Yeah. And that's actually hard to do in this league, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you see teams going little 3-4 game winning streaks, and your season's turned around. Yeah. So it is hard to do. Not a lot of teams do it, but again, we don't have a lot of games left at home, so again, it's crucial for us to get results, get points on the road. But it's cliche, but one game at a time, really. Yeah. Because, you know, we're at the bottom of the standings. We know where we're at. We're not happy with that, but guys in the locker room haven't thrown the towel in. We're still working hard. We're still wanting to get better, and we still feel like we got a lot to play left in the season.
You know, Pablo said on Wednesday morning that right now you're not viewing this as a home game and this as a road game, and so in the past, that mentality has been there. Okay, we're going to go in here, try and get a point maybe. Yeah. So exactly, specifically, what adjustments are made to basically make every game the exact same?
The start of the game is very important. Giving up an early goal again last game, you know, kind of hurt us, put us on the back foot a little bit. But now, home or away, we're going to go forward. We're going to play forward. It's not, might not be the prettiest soccer, but we're going to go up there, battle for second balls, win the balls high up the field, just try to get as many chances as we can and get as much activity around the other team's box, the other team's attacking third. And it doesn't matter if it's pretty or not. We're going to make it work. That's just going to be the mentality and the mindset going forward.
And last one for you. I mean, defensively, absolutely has to be organized, structured. But then when you transition going forward, do you think that that sort of structure and organization needs to be there, or do you think that there just needs to be maybe a little bit more loosening up and creativity when you're in that transition and going towards goal?
Yeah, I think when you get you get good possession, you're going forward. I think it's important as being in the back to be organized, though. You're always thinking about what if happens on a transition, a turnover. But, yeah, when you're in the attacking third, that's when the free flow comes out. That's when the playmakers do their thing. That's when guys who have the killer pass can be free. Don't worry about making mistakes up there. That doesn't matter. It's because we want to create something. We want to be creative to break teams down. So that's what we're going to try to do. And again, now we're wanting more quantity chances versus who cares about the quality. I want to just get chances there. We want to get in front of the goal as much as possible, see what we can do.
There are the thoughts of Jared Watts. Down the hall, Richard Fleming was busy talking to both Dom Baggi and Marlon Hairston.
Well, here's something we don't do very often. We've got two players together. We've got Dom Baggi, we've got Marley Hairston. Dom, you first. You said at the start of the season, double digits. Are you still on course for that in terms of goals? 6 for the season so far?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a goal I set out to achieve at the beginning of the season. That's something I still have my eyes on and definitely going to hit that.
A few more assists as well. I mean, do you feel that's a part of your game that's come on as well, that you're part of that attack, the whole kind of collective?
Yeah, the way we play, you know, the forward players, they can find themselves in any position at any given moment in the game. And so sometimes I find myself deeper and just have to be the one that, you know, gives those passes.
Marlon, 21 games played. 22 is the most that you'd played. That was in your rookie season. And I know there's been that question, fullback or kind of the right midfield. And I know there's an area you prefer. Is that more attacking? And you seem to blossom there as well.
You know, each year when I'm playing on the wing, I'm starting to develop more confidence in that position. You know, just learning more. More technique and more strategies that I could use, you know, getting forward. And credit to the coaching staff that continue to work with me. And, you know, hopefully I can, you know, continue to, you know, help Baggi and help Doyle get a couple more goals under the belt. And, you know, if a goal comes for myself also, that would be great.
There's always great delight when I see that you two combine.
Yeah.
And a goal is produced, because we never know quite what the celebration is going to look like.
Right.
But I know there's a chemistry between you guys off the field, and that must help you on the field as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, just being a wide man, Doyle does a good job coming in and linking up play, you know, from the midfield and the forward line. And when Doyle just, you know, tries to play those balls in behind or out wide, most times when I take my touch forward, the first person I see in the box is usually Baggi. And Doyle coming in late, and the opposite winger coming in late. So if I can just keep getting early crosses in, you know, I know he'll be in front of goal and putting himself in a good position to get on the end of it.
Talk us through that touch last weekend. Did you know? Could you see kind of peripheral vision that there was somebody coming through?
It came late to me because I was expecting, you know, I just made a long run forward and I was expecting Mo to either slip it or to go for goal. And he took the shot and the ball just happened to bounce to me as I was continuing my run forward. And, you know, as I was facing the sideline, I just got a shout from Kev behind me and I just flicked the ball to him. And, you know, fortunately enough, Gashi didn't take him out.
Well, it's off to Dallas this weekend. And I know historically you've had some good games there. You scored in that 4-0 win a couple of seasons back. You got the goal last season. They're going through a bit of a wobble at the moment. Is this a real chance to get that first win on the road?
Yeah, definitely. Win on the road is a long time coming, and this is a perfect opportunity for us to do it. They're a team they've got holes in the back, and that's something we're definitely going to look to exploit.
Do you look at each team? I've had good success against those guys. And do you ever kind of formulate a reason why? I mean, I know last season was a quick breakaway. You took that shot from the edge of the box, and I think it was Hedges kind of backed off. He almost kind of gave you the space to have a go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily teams, but it's players that I've played against in the past, and that I know what kind of players they are. And the two center backs they have, we've played against them before, and I know their tendencies, and that's definitely something that I'm going to be looking to exploit.
What did you guys learn from the Open Cup game in Dallas? And I know it's not the league, and some teams switch things around, and the Rapids had injuries early on, but can you kind of glean anything from that you could take into the weekend?
Yeah, you know, as a unit, we just have to be collective as a group defending. They have a great attack. You know, once they score one goal, you know, usually a second or a third follows that. So we just have to stick together as a group. And, you know, we're going to go there and not sit back. We're going to try to press them as much as we can because, you know, from here on out, you know, every win matters for us. And, you know, if we can just nick a few balls closer to their goal, we'll be able to score a few goals on the break. And, you know, Dallas is going to be a good team, and, you know, it may be hot there, humidity. So, you know, all these things come into it, and, you know, but we expect for us to go down there, you know, and not be an impact.
What are you mindful of, bearing in mind this is a side that's given up 7 goals in two games, 3-1, I think, against Philly, 4-0 the previous week against Vancouver? Are you expecting a backlash? Are you expecting a reaction? Or do you go in with that kind of, well, they're on a bit of a lull at the moment?
They're at home, so we're definitely expecting them to come out with a lot of energy. They're a team that lives off attacking. A lot of their chances are when they nick balls and they just break. They're a very fast team going forward. But then again, that leaves them vulnerable in the back. So they're definitely going to bring a lot of energy against us. Their attack is going to be dangerous as always. But if we stay compact, as we have for the majority of the season, and get a couple breaks up top, I'm sure we're going to pull out away with a good result.
Vancouver last weekend, and Kevin Doyle said after the game that where you guys kind of let yourselves down is that we stopped doing what was working after we went ahead. We stopped pressing, we stopped pushing, and you kind of said in your last answer that we're going to have a go at Dallas this weekend. Do you find that this team this season is better when it's going forward as opposed to 2016, where you were able to kind of sit and drain the life out of teams?
Yeah, and, you know, in the same aspect, you know, we haven't been able to close games out effectively enough. And, you know, Vancouver was a great opportunity for us to get a win under our belt here at home. And you know, just picking up what Doyle said, you know, we just kind of picked up our, you know, took our foot off the gas in that second half once we scored a goal and kind of got, you know, a little bit too comfortable. But, you know, first half we were really good in that game. So we're going to try to bring that same momentum into this game in Dallas. You know, try to thread them in behind as much as we can. You know, put their center backs in under as much pressure as we can, and, you know, once we get forward, we need to, you know, be as clinical as we can, you know, in front of goal, and if we take our chances, you know, we think we give ourselves a really good chance of winning.
There is Richard Fleming talking to Dom Baggi and Marlon Hairston. We'll be right back.
Are you in for 90? Enjoy a craft beer and a game courtesy of Hodel Brewing in the Colorado Rapids.
Takes a little deflection, and oh, that's in! It is Kevin Doyle!
The Rapids take on DC United on August 19th at 7 p.m. at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
What a wonderful goal from Dominic Baggi, and he stings like a bee!
Starting at just $34, get a ticket to the game, a 90-shilling beer, and a Rapids t-shirt courtesy of Hodel Brewing.
Striking one up!
Go to ColoradoRapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids podcast presented by Advocare. I'm joined now by Dylan Gannon. Dylan, question, which is the most important to me, are you feeling any better this week?
We are feeling better. You know, we have.
We? Are you Gollum?
I mean, we're a team. Okay. It's a podcast. If I'm hurting, then
that's right.
You're hurting.
That's right.
You know,
that's true.
Like that.
It's the sympathy pains that I've been having all week for you.
Exactly. And, you know, we had a good week of training. You know, I came in with the right mindset. And I think, you know, we're back to almost full health.
Good. Now it's time to take it one game at a time and move forward.
Yeah, a lot of good coach speak there.
Well, what do you got this week?
Well, what do we have this week? Today, we want to talk about the Premier League. You know, we always talk about MLS, but with the Premier League starting this weekend, I mean, it's a good time to go in there and just, you know, see what's happening
Saturday mornings have changed again for the next 6 months.
Yep, so goodbye to sleeping in before game days. I mean, everyone's waking up early for that. Now, it just feels like it was a few weeks ago that Chelsea reclaimed the English Premier League title, and they're going to look to begin that title defense, as we said, this weekend. As you know, the Premier League is slated to start on Friday with Arsenal taking on Leicester City. Now, before we dive deep into 2017, why don't you give us a quick recap of what happened in 2016?
Well, it wasn't nearly as exciting as the year prior. We all know about Leicester's Leicester, as they say, the remarkable run to, and unfortunately they came back down to earth last year, finished in the middle of the table, seemed to be sort of a two-team race for most of the year between Chelsea and Tottenham. It's Tottenham. I'm just saying that because Richard would be very much annoyed. Of course, Liverpool and Man City making some decent runs here and there, although they never really seemed to be serious threats. More of the surprising facets of last season for me were both Manchester United and Arsenal not finishing in the top four. Arsenal missing out on Champions League places for the first time since 1996. Can you believe that?
I can, and I mean that's when I was born, 1991. So, you know, most of my life.
You were born in 91?
Yeah, sorry to make you feel old. Had to throw a little. There's your Gannon Fire of the week right there.
Thank you. Gannon Fire, heads up.
I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing. I mean, you're thinking they may be able to contend for the Premier League title, and they just miss out on Champions League. Now, I mean, there are, the Power Six teams that are vying for those four spots, so obviously two have to miss out. But did anyone really think it was going to be Arsenal and Man U? Now, United ended up bringing in Romelu Lukaku to hopefully bolster their attack, and Arsenal brought in Alexander Lacazette to hopefully put them back into one of those Champions League places. What other new faces around the league do you think could have a big impact for the new club?
It's not a new face per se. It's sort of an old face in a new old place. And it's a great story to see Wayne Rooney go back to his home club in Everton, although I will miss him at United. Yes. Not to mention he scored in his first preseason match, since returning to the Toffees, which is one of the best nicknames in the Premier League.
Not wrong.
I know that Tim Howard is probably just a wee bit excited about the signing to have Wayne Rooney back. And remember, they finished seventh in the league last year, just missed the Europa League as well. So you know they're wanting to sort of reach a little bit higher this year. You also have to think that West Ham could make a run now that Chicharito and Joe Hart have joined their side. So they had a lot of money to spend. They went out and got the former Manchester City keeper and, of course, Chicharito.
And, I mean, obviously there was all that talk that Chicharito was going to go to LAFC.
Yep.
But, I mean, you go where the money is. And, you know, he obviously had his best seasons of his career when he was with Manchester United. So good for him making that happen. Now, also looking to make their presence known this year will be the three newcomers to the Premier League in Brighton Hove Albion, Huddersfield Town, and finally Newcastle United.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge moment for all three of these clubs. For Brighton, it's their first appearance in the top flight since 1983 and their first ever appearance in the Premier League. Huddersfield, who have not been in England's top tier since 1971 and 72, they boast the second American coach to be in the Premier League in German-born David Wagner, after Bob Bradley had a very brief stint at Swansea City, remember last year? Of course, Bob Bradley now is the head coach at LAFC. And then Newcastle has U.S. men's national team player DeAndre Yedlin. They're making their return after a fall into the championship last year. So you never know what they're going to get from, or what you're going to get from these teams, rather. Some ultimately fail and fail hard, while others, like Bournemouth, who, let me say to stick around, play in a stadium of less than 12,000 people. They've been able to stay in the top flight for consecutive years, despite all the odds being against them. So you sort of hope for that sort of story, I think, for me, especially for Brighton and Hove Albion.
Absolutely, and you know, going back to Bournemouth and the Cherries, I think going back to your point, that might be the second best name in the Premier League behind the Toffees.
Shout out to Toffees and the Cherries.
Shout out to them there. But like you were saying, that's what makes soccer so special. There are just so many underdogs that end up making a huge surprise each and every year, and you never know who it's going to be. I mean, look back to Leicester City in 2015. That's arguably could be the best sports story of all time. Is it going to happen this year? Probably not,
yeah.
But you never know, and I mean, that's what makes soccer such a global sport, is that element of surprise. Now let's wrap it up. I don't need any reason needed. Just tell me who the Premier League champion will be.
The red side of Manchester.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why I asked. You were going to say that. Remember, no Zlatan.
Doesn't matter.
Big loss there. I'm going to go Man City, just all the money they have. And, you know, we'll just assume Rich is going to say Chelsea because he's been a diehard Chelsea fan all his life, of course. And
he'll say Chelsea because he's boring.
Yeah, exactly. Stick with them while they're hot.
Dylan, appreciate it as always.
Connor, appreciate you.
Now it's time for...
More important dates to remember.
The Cardale Homes Community Spotlight. We tell you of events and initiatives involving the club, the Colorado Rapids. The annual Eddie's Kids Dinner will be taking place on Sunday, August 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Del Frisco's in Greenwood Village. Community Ambassador Brian Mullen will be in attendance on behalf of the Rapids. With the generous giving of Eddie's Kids Foundation, Kroenke Sports Charities has donated more than 1 million tickets to local nonprofits, deserving families, teachers, and military since 1991. Our first Team Fit Clinic, presented by Ardent Mills and in association with Rocky Mountain Hospital for Children, will be taking place on Wednesday, August 30th from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Vickers Branch Boys and Girls Club in Metro Denver. Rapids performance analyst and strength coach Miguel Motolongo will be leading the clinic with the help of some Rapids first team players. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
Two words that send shivers down the spines of certain soccer sorts in North America, and two words which are totally alien. I say totally. They are unfamiliar to most sports fans in this part of the world, and those words are promotion and relegation. Now, when I say most sports fans, I of course don't mean soccer followers. They are themselves, even here in North America, gripped by the late season drama which unfolds outside of these shores as struggling sides either slip into the division below or defy the unbelievable odds to avoid the dreaded drop. New sides step into the shoes of those vacated, like we'll see this weekend in the Premier League in England. Brighton and Hove Albion, that's a side I covered 20 years ago or so, will be making their first appearance in the Premier League, as we heard from Dylan earlier. Bournemouth are doing the unthinkable in the English top flight. They're sticking around, another team that I covered as well many moons ago. And with the ever-improving teams, the growing crowds, the greater investment, the community and political support, the promotion-relegation debate has kind of been reignited. And it is at least once a year we hear the debate. And it always comes from those lips outside of MLS, those kind of on the outside looking in. And I understand it. You know, I come from a sports culture where this is the norm. You do badly, you risk going down. You do well and you've got a chance of going up. It's kind of widely accepted and understood. And all teams, you know, this is kind of the understanding that all teams at the start of a season know their fate. They know the rules. They know that is kind of what you play for. You play for the success or you play to try and avoid the drop. And obviously those that struggle will obviously suffer the ultimate fate. That's not the case in this part of the soccer world. But I do think as the sport still continues to grow and strengthen, it's doing so with investors who know that there is an element of certainty in the money that they are putting forward. They know that within a season, the team that they've put money into is not going to disappear into a lower division and fall from that top perch in North American soccer. And of course, most are coming from other traditional North American sports, and I understand that that's kind of a big incentive for those seeking to attract backers in Major League Soccer. But be careful, because, you know, whereas the incentive for those already in MLS is that there isn't relegation, where is the incentive for those outside of MLS that are hitting that glass ceiling, that are making an investment at a lower level down the pyramid? Because if the path to the top is blocked, momentum lower down ultimately, and maybe over time, will wane and interest may be lost. But the flip side is, and this is kind of going back and forth, is there a deep enough talent pool? And can MLS realistically accept any kind of newcomers that tick most of the boxes? And where do you end? 28, 32, 38 teams in Major League Soccer. It's an anomaly that you kind of do struggle with here. The frowns are not as furrowed in other major sports because the fans have nothing to compare it to. But there are people that know the sport of soccer and they know that everywhere else in the world there is promotion and relegation. MLS stands alone among the kind of emerging leagues in this format. Now, sadly, some of that, while being accused of being anti-competitive, is also to maintain stability. We know that when the NASL was flourishing, it was the top two or three teams, and those were kind of allowed to run. MLS was very wary of allowing that same model to impact Major League Soccer. So it has been very tight, it has been very controlled. And let's be honest, it's something that we've gone back and forth with. It's in a much more healthy state. It's tightly controlled, but it's paying its players. It's building new stadiums. It's increasing in numbers, and it's becoming more valuable. And it's intriguing, actually, as we embark upon the 25th season or 25th year of the English Premier League. I remember the first one in 92-93. And some of the teams that have featured in the Premier League down the years, and it was interesting to look at where they are now or where they've been. So in other words, promotion and relegation does come at a cost. They're not all Arsenals and Chelseas and Manchester Uniteds that year after year have sustained success. There are those that overreach and overspend, and as a consequence, they are then found wanting for a number of years. And I'll just give you a few examples. Blackpool were in the Premier League. They've been promoted from League Two, so they'll be playing in League One. So that was the fourth tier of the English game. They'll be in the third tier. Barnsley, Birmingham, Blackburn. Blackburn relegated from the Championship last season. They were former winners of the Premier League back in the day. Bradford, Charlton and Coventry are all now in League One. And Portsmouth, FA Cup winners not that long ago, have just been promoted as champions from League Two into League One. So again, just be careful what you wish for. There is good and bad. The model that MLS has at the moment is clearly working for them. It's a debate worth having. It's a conversation worth keeping in mind. But it's also got to be understood that one of the very reasons for the steady growth of MLS has been because of the closer controls. And that, at the moment, for me here, although it pains me because of what I'm used to seeing, at the moment, I don't think there's room for promotion relegation.
Well, the next task for the Rapids will be at FC Dallas, the second of three trips in all competitions in 2017, coming up this Saturday, the 12th of August, 6 p.m. Mountain Time on Altitude Television with Richard Fleming and Jordan Angeli making her way over to television for the weekend. I will be at Toyota Stadium in Dallas to bring you live coverage on Altitude 950, starting at the top of the hour against 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Is kickoff 5:30 is Rapids kickoff, the pregame show on Altitude Television. Join us either way. We'll also have a pregame Facebook Live preview live from Toyota Stadium there in Frisco. For Dylan Cannon and Richard Fleming, I'm Connor McGehee. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Rapids Podcast, another edition coming your way next week. Bye-bye.
The Rapids Podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.